Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're here to bring you the latest and greatest news and guests from all around the quilting world. So today I have two really wonderful guests, and the first one is just an amazing designer. I just love her. She is adorable, and I know that you all are just crazy, crazy about her patterns. Then I have here Sherry Falls of This and That Pattern Company. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. It was really good to see you in Salt Lake City.
Yes, it's nice to see you there, too.
Yeah, we always get to catch up on things, even if it's just like for 3 seconds, right?
Yeah, exactly. Usually you're running through the show.
I know. It's just crazy, crazy. So, Sherry, tell me a little bit about how you got into quilting, because, you know, I don't think I know that.
I actually started quilting a long time ago for when my daughter was going to have her first birthday. I'd always been a sewer of making clothes and that kind of thing, but I wanted to do something really special for her. Mm-hmm. And my mom had just started quilting. It was when quilting had just started getting big again, and I didn't know what to make for her first birthday of something special. Yeah. My mom's like, oh, make a quilt. And I thought, okay, I can do this. So
I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah. And it was something fun. And of course it was just, you know, got bit by the quilting bug, and then that was it. I just loved it from the start. So that's kind of how I got started.
Did you make other things also? Were you, like, did you make clothing and stuff before that?
Yeah, I did a lot of clothes. I used to make my own prom dresses. I did all my own bridesmaid dresses.
Wow.
That kind of thing. I was actually more of a, besides making clothes, I did a lot of cross stitch, and that was so time consuming. So then once I got into quilting, it was like, oh my gosh, I can accomplish so much so quickly that it was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah. You actually get things done at, you know, reasonable time frame.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not a cross stitcher, but I've tried it, and it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I would rather quilt myself. So when did you decide to make this your business? Take your patterns and you know, what you're quilting rather, and make it a company?
You know, I actually started designing patterns when I met Eileen Taylor. She was our Moda rep at my mom's quilt shop, and I was talking to her one day and said how I used to take several different clothing patterns and put them together to make a dress or whatever, and I always enjoyed that. And she goes, well, have you ever tried designing for quilting? And I'm like, well, no. And she goes, well, next time I have fabric, I'll give you some and see what you come up with. And I thought, okay, this will be great.
Yeah.
So she gave me her line of fabric. She let me pick out fabric and, of course, gave it to me for free, which was incredible. Yeah. And, of course, meeting her was incredible to know Eileen Taylor of the Holly Taylor line.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got started. Of course, it was both feet at once, because she was like, okay, well, here's the fabric, and now I need it back in 10 days to head to Houston.
Oh, no. So, oh, wow.
So that was kind of like, wow. So that was my first quilt I designed, but I got it done. It was good. So,
and yeah, so that she was took quite that the... to Houston and put it in the Moda booth?
Yes.
Wow.
She did. And actually, the very first one I did for her, Fonz and Porter had walked by and put it in their magazine as one of their quilts, because they liked it. It was a very masculine quilt, like her fabric was, and so that was my first experience with the whole design anything thing. And
oh my gosh, Sherry, that's great. Like sitting at the Coke counter, you know, like wasn't it Lana Turner that got found at the Coke counter or whatever? You were just hanging out in the quilt shop, became a designer.
Exactly. And, you know, she's so sweet and encouraging. She's like, oh, you can do this. And I go, okay. So, and it just kind of rolled after that with us. She's such a sweet lady. We have such a great relationship that we just, you know, it's fun to work with her and her fabrics. So,
oh, neat.
That kind
of
started
she has
it all.
Really nice, warm, toasty fabrics, too.
Mm-hmm. Very Minnesota, obviously, because that's where we're from, and we like that look. So, yeah, it works very well for me to play around with her fabrics.
Now, I didn't know that your mom had, did your mom still have the quilt shop?
Yes.
So where is that? Tell us. So, you know, people might be able to come in there and peek, and maybe you'll be there one day.
Yeah. It's Heavenly Patchwork in Waconia here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So it's a cute little town that she's in, and I don't work there. I just, you know, breathe in and out. My daughter actually usually works for my mom too, helping out sometimes, but so it was in the beginning, I kind of helped her, you know, buy fabrics and, you know, spend her money on fabrics I wanted in the store. So, yeah.
So I'm really, I'm curious because, you know, you're using a particular, you know, mostly a particular palette, you know, the sort of warm color. The sort of sometimes people call them muddied colors, but not all the time. I mean, do you mix it up some? Do you get to like you? Do you have to use bright purple one day or lime green? Does the urge ever hit you?
You know, it does. There isn't much that I don't like, and I don't know if that's an asset. Usually, it's a problem because I do love the warm colors, and I like to decorate my house in the deep reds and blues and browns and stuff. But you know, if I'm doing something fun, I want a bag that's out of bright colors, whether it be, you know, funky pink and green, or like you said, purple and green, and and especially at a certain time of year. Usually in January, I could work with some 30s or something really bright and funky because it's so depressing here in Minnesota with the weather and everything. That
I think that's the same everywhere. You want bright fabric in the middle of the winter.
Exactly.
Just makes you keep going.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
So do you collect a lot of fabric? Because, you know, being in business, a lot of us in business, we can only, you know, we sort of use what's current. Do you still have an older collection of fabric? You know, what do you do with it? How does that work for you?
I do. I have, you know, I still go into quilt shops, and when I find stuff that I like, I do pick it up and just put it in my stash. And I've got an old antique hutch that I have everything folded in nice and neat piles in different sections where I've got, like, Civil War in one, and I love 1930s prints, and I've got that on a row, and I've got, like, my kids on another and that kind of thing. So it does stay out of the light and doesn't get dusty or anything, but I still go and pick up, and I don't always use it in my designs, but when I do something for myself or my kids, I've got it, and I still love some of those old fabrics. They are classics.
Oh, so, they are, aren't they? Yeah. Like you go through. I had a Kona Bay one for a while, and it's like even the tiniest little scraps. The last time I used them, I'm like, oh, it's gone.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly. You got to keep those and tuck them into different quilts that you make.
Yeah, just sort of like, oh, I look at that quilt and go, oh, there's that fabric I loved. You know.
Yep,
so
exactly.
When you buy, will you go out? You know, particularly when you're buying, not, you know, the current things, but will you go out and buy a lot of yardage? Are you like a fat quarter buyer?
You know, I do buy a lot of fat quarters for my Civil War and my 1930s collections just because those should be really, really scrappy quilts.
Yeah.
But if it's something I don't really know what I'm going to do, I usually get between a half a yard and a yard. Usually, like the focal print, I'll get at least a yard or two. Mm-hmm. And then I might get half yard or three quarter yard cuts of the complementary thing. I have a really hard time with mixing up things. So it's like, if that's a line I like, I have to buy from that line. The only things I mix is my Civil War and my 30s. I'm a very in the box kind of person, I guess.
The designer put all those fabrics together and Sherry wants to use them together.
Exactly. That's the purpose.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I just bought like 4 yards of something. I'm like thinking, okay, so what am I going to do with this? I just had to have it. I had to be sure I had enough of it. You know, I've bought it like 3 times already. So I've been using it. I know. Have you done that? Bought same fabric?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's one of those things that one caught your eye, and every shop you go into, I should just get a few more yards.
Yes, exactly it. This is a dot. And I'm like, oh, I should just have a bit more of that because they may not make that one. It's orange and cream, you know, sort of like a creamsicle color.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, it's not going to be around forever. So I've bought it 3 times now.
Yep, exactly. Maintain the stock.
Yes, exactly. Maintain the level of the stock. We, you know, it's like cooking.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to get that dip down too close to having only a little bit left. So you do a lot of different types of patterns. Well, after our break, I'm going to talk about like your broccoli months that you do. But before we take a break, what you tell me the type of projects you like to design.
I like to design everything. Mm-hmm. I love doing quilts. I know that. Well, that's why I named my company This and That, because I can't decide on anything. I like it all. Bags are probably my all-time favorite, and I just feel you should never have enough bags. But I like to make things that are user-friendly, too. Like, I've got some notebook covers and that kind of thing, things you can throw in your purse or make easy teacher gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a purpose for everything. I love table runners on my table. They're quick and easy gifts. But you have to have that quilt with, of course, a flannel back, because we're in Minnesota. Yeah,
right.
But you need quilts for the beds and the sofas. And, yeah, so it's hard to pin down one thing, but I'd have to say bags are probably number one.
Number one. You've done a few bags for American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine and on allpeoplequilt.com. There's a few of your bags. I really like, you have a little drawstring one that's like patchwork, and it has like a holly on it. It was done at Christmas time. Did you have any tips on making that bag?
You know, I think because it does have the oval bottom, might throw people a little bit. It's not difficult to do the oval bottom. My biggest thing with that is find your intersections, you know, divide it into fourths, and just use a lot of pins, and just be patient as you're putting the binding around the bottom. It'll easily go as long as you're using bias, but it's not a, it's not like binding the top of something where it's just straight. It will take a little bit of finesse, but it's, to me, when I do it, I pin the heck out of it, and I'm not a pinner. That's the only time I actually use pins.
No.
For that. So
bag bottoms.
But yeah, exactly. Other than that, I don't like pins.
Yeah.
So
Sherry's inner secrets are coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Don't like pins. But you do need it for that. And once you pin it, then it does go very easy. So I think that's kind of the big thing with that one.
And it's called the drawstring bag. If you just go to allpeoplequilt.com and you put in Sherry Falls, it's F-A-L-L-S, then you'll find all the things that Sherry has done for the magazine, and that bag will come up, because it would be so adorable in any colorway.
Yeah, I think it actually make a cute little project bag for people to take along, like knitting or something, or even have it as a lunch bag if you use some of that thermo insulating, you know, that batting that's got the metal stuff in the center. You could do that and have it as a lunch bag. It'd be really cute. Make it for your coworkers.
That's a good idea. I'm printing it as we're talking off the internet. So. Yeah, and it has applique on it, but you could, of course, leave that off if you don't applique, or put something you know, else on it besides holly. You know, you don't have to put the holly on there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Sherry, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I want to talk about Block of the Months, because you do a lot of those, and they're just beautiful, and I want you to sort of describe them. So we'll be right back, okay?
Okay, cool. Great, thanks.
Come back and you'll to be with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be back in a second.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time. Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're here with Sherry Falls of This and That Pattern Company. Sherry, you have done how many block of the months? I mean, several, right?
I've actually done 4. I just finished my 4th one for a spring market here that we went to in Salt Lake.
And it's called Love Letters, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
tell me about the concept of block of the month, because, you know, for new quilters, they may not be familiar with what that is.
You know, I like them because the quilt is actually broken down into segments, and 3 of my block of the months are broken down into 6 months, and then I have 1 9-month. And what that means is each month you will make 2 of the same block for 6 months. So there you'll have your 12 blocks. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice way to make a quilt without feeling overwhelmed of, oh, I have to make this whole quilt. You can easily get 2 blocks done a month, even with as busy as everyone is. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to break it down that way. I really like that part of it.
Now, the one that I really like, your newest one, the Love Letters, is that it looks like you've built sort of a frame around every block.
Yes. You make the 12, it's a 12-inch block for those, and there's 6 different ones, and you make the 12-inch block, and then you're putting the sashing or the setting triangles onto each block so they end up set on point, and then when you sew them together, it gives you that cool framing effect.
Oh, it's amazing. So, you can see it at Sherry's site, thisandthatpatterns.com. So and you have it on your front page right now, so people can click it and see a nice large picture. Now, what fabric line is that you used?
That's the Brand New Etchings by Three Sisters of Moda, and I want to say it's going to be in stores in like September or October. It's a brand new fabric line, so it's not even in the stores yet.
So, isn't that fun to be able to use the fabrics, you know, for market before they come out? You get to see the new stuff.
It is, and I just loved that line. That worked really well for me.
Yeah, it's like a red and a gray. I was taking a look at that line. it's a little different with the gray in it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. They did have a blue fabric in there, but I chose just to go with the red and the gray and the creams. Mm-hmm. Red is my favorite color, so of course when I saw that, I went, "Ooh, I could have some fun with this one." So. Yeah, and grays are really neat because they're more like a charcoal gray, which is real pretty.
And they're patterned, so they have a nice movement to them rather than being a solid.
Right. Yep, there's some plaids. There's I did use some of the wovens that they've got, which was kind of neat. I had never done that before. Usually I just keep the quilt all the cottons. Yeah. But I did put in some of the wovens this time, and I really think it kind of really gave the quilt a very nice look to it, a little more, I don't know if you'd say like a little bit more of a country style. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really enjoyed the wovens, though.
Yeah, it turned out beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, people have to go look for that. So you also, another bag that you did for American Patchwork and Quilting, we'll switch over here because I wanted to ask you, it had, on the website, we have an alternate, I think, colorway done, but the design is by you and it's called Double Up. And this one had a big, fat rickrack. Do you have any tips for people on using those rickracks for their bags?
You know, I love the rickracks on the bags, and that wide stuff is just great. I think the best tip for doing that is when you're piecing your bag together, put the rickrack down on the piece that you're going to be sewing it to, and try not to have to fold the rickrack back and press it, just because it'll never lay right. So you really just want it on there flat. And because to piece your cotton fabric with it is easy to press that away from the rickrack, but folding the rickrack over, it's always going to maybe stick right out from the bag.
Yeah.
So you just
want
to place it on there. And does that make sense? Because it's not going to press over. So keep it flat.
Yeah. So you're trying to keep the rickrack sort of flat within the seam.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. And when you're using the really wide stuff, because the bumps are so large, I do let it hang over a little bit, and where that bump is near the seam edge, I have that a little less than a quarter inch. So you are losing about a third or maybe a little more of the rickrack when you're stitching it in, but that's how you get that really cute bumped look without having, the excess sticking out. So,
do you ever trim it then? Because it's thicker for the big fat rickrack. Do you ever trim it away any? I guess there isn't really that much to do.
I do trim it out, just because I don't want it, when I do fold that cotton fabric back and press it, you don't want to see the shadow of it underneath
there. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I do trim it out. You know, and it's a personal preference, but I do, just because I don't like it. Then it looks like you got bugs in your bag or something, and I don't like that. You never know.
You never know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It'd be summer in Minnesota. The bugs are in your bag.
Exactly.
So you also blog. Tell me a little bit about what people can find on your blog. They can click to it from your website. There's a link.
Yep. I kind of blog about a lot of different things. I'm actually going to be putting up a new, it's kind of like an embroidery block of the month that I did for Spring Market. I'm going to put the pattern on there here with shortly, so people can be able to download that. And it's pieced and embroidered. I'm trying to get better about blogging. It's kind of one of those things that, with everything else going on in life, it kind of goes by the wayside. And then I go, oh, I need to blog. And I do enjoy it when I do. Mm-hmm. And it is fun. So sometimes I talk about what's going on in our family. So people do have to read that, whether it be a birthday or something. But usually it's like projects, something fun that I'm excited about, whether it be a new bag that I did, or I did put a little tutorial on there on some of the bags that I have, the fabric is kind of gathered up and pressed. And so I put a tutorial on there on how easy it is to do that, even though it looks like, oh, how in the world do you do it? Mm-hmm. It's so simple. And so I did one of those on there. Sometimes I do recipes. I love to cook.
Oh, you do? I see. I'm scrolling here now. I can see, like, desserts.
Yeah. Desserts are always good. I think I put one of our macaroni and cheese recipes on there that my kids absolutely love. So I'm trying to put stuff like that on there, which is, things that a family would eat, because that's kind of what we're doing.
That's
at this
what's
stage
happening
in our
with
life.
You, right? Families
exactly.
And they eat. That's
exactly.
And I see whenever you're in a magazine, you have Quilts and More. You had a little bag in I'm not sure whether that's spring issue, the spring issue of Quilts and More. It was on the cover. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
That's a cute one.
Yeah. I love doing bags for them. They're such nice ladies, and it's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, you can't have, like you said, you cannot have enough bags. Not.
No.
So do you have, like, a quilt that you want to make? You know, is there one out there that you're saying, do you want to make a Baltimore album or a double wedding ring or anything like that, or just a modern quilt? Is there something you've been dying to make?
You know, if I had the time, my one quilt that I do want to make someday, and I have a lot for it, is a grandmother's flower garden.
Oh.
And that's one reason I've been collecting 30s prints. Mm-hmm. And I even have a little paper piecing, English paper piecing pieces. Mm-hmm. I started one, and it's in the bottom of a bag. There's probably 5 pieces sewn together. But someday I'm going to get to that, and I would love, of course, this is probably crazy, but I'd love to have a king size one for my bed.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Not sure when I'll ever get to that. It may end up being a pillow or maybe a, you know, table runner. But
well, it's good to
I'll
have a goal,
that.
You know. And you've got yes. the pieces and you've got the bag.
Yes. Exactly. And well, and that's just it. It's, you know, I'll someday find the time to fill, you know, and then I'll have the time to do that. But I know it's one of those things. It's on my bucket list, I guess you mm-hmm. could say, mm-hmm. to do.
I yep. think most quilters seem to have a quilt like that. You know, they may mm-hmm. make it, but then they put another one on the list.
Yes. Yep. I would rather have too much on my list than sit there going, oh, what am I going to do?
Oh, I can't even imagine. Can you imagine?
Oh, no. The list is too long.
Well, yes. I have the list of things that have been started. I could just go there. I didn't have to do anything else. That's
exactly. Yeah, things to be completed. Ouch.
Right. So do you have any hobbies outside of, you know, your job of quilting?
Well, I know that one of my favorite things to do lately has been knitting. I started knitting about a year and a half ago, and my grandma always knit for us when we were kids. And
oh,
it was
nice.
Kind of one of those, yeah, you always got new hats every year and, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, well, I want to, you know what it was? It was, I was walking by this yarn shop, and it was actually in Salem, Massachusetts, and it is so beautiful. And it was all the colors, and then you walk in and feel the yarn. It's like feeling fabric, you know, it's mm-hmm. that whole texture thing. Mm-hmm. That's what got me hooked. And then the need to do something that grandma did, and it just kind of mm-hmm. works. And so that's kind of my new hobby that I've taken up that I'm enjoying. Learning a lot because there's not a lot I know, but I'm learning a lot with it, and it's
well,
been fun to
great.
Make the kids stuff. Yeah,
are you into socks, or have you become a sock knitter?
I haven't tried socks. That is on the to-do list. I've done a lot of hats. I've made some really cute bulky mittens, and I'm actually working on my very first sweater. Mm. It's going okay, but I'm trying. So. It's a little
yeah, I never
forgiving.
Did very well with the knitting. I crochet because I started that as a kid because my great-grandmother crocheted.
Okay. Yep.
So the knitting is, I think, harder. Two sticks or a hook.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, I have to say, though, I do like the forgiving aspect of it, whereas, like, when you're quilting and you cut up the fabric, mm-hmm. if you mess up,
yeah,
it's not gone, but it's kind of gone, whereas yeah. this, you just kind of, well, unfortunately, I have to keep unraveling, but, you know, you still have your yarn, and I unravel a lot. So far, I've done well at keeping the yarn.
Well, there you go. There you go. So exactly. What's coming up next in the land of Sherry? I know that, you know, we just had market, and so, you know, you're mm-hmm. probably still working on that, but, you know, what do you do next? You starting your next quilts, or...
Well, I'm probably going to take a few weeks break here and get the kids done with school and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm going to just start on for fall market. And I'm trying to get to the point where I'm not always in a mad rush at the end. I'm such a deadline person. If you give me a deadline, I'll wait till a few days before that and then mad rush and get it done. So I'm working on that bad part of my personality to go, let's try to pace ourselves. And so I am going to start, you know, shortly here and start doing things for fall market and, mm-hmm. and, you know, hammering down the ideas that I have, actually getting them on paper, deciding which ones I want to do and that kind of thing to actually have a map and a plan. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, you're my hero.
Oh, well, it's my theory. It's
well,
not a plan yet.
Maybe we should make a pact. We'll do this together, Sherry.
Exactly. It's my theory anyways.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Sherry, this has been absolutely wonderful. I appreciate
you
being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, this has been Sherry Falls with thisandthatpatterns.com. And I'll be seeing you soon, Sherry.
Thank you. Have a good
Thank
day.
You.
Bye.
So everybody come back right after the break, and we're going to talk to another fabulous guest.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Thanks for coming back from the break. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have another fabulous guest. I mean, this is so exciting. Vanessa and I have met, Vanessa Williams of Crafty Gemini. We met on a business list on the internet. You know how the internet is. You make all new friends. It's totally awesome. Well, I've been following her work for a little while. She does a lot of tutorials, a lot of video tutorials, which is really exciting. So I'm delighted to have her on the show so she can tell us about her design work and some really, really amazing opportunities that have just come her way. So, hey, Vanessa, how are you?
Hey, Pat, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm just awesome. I'm just so excited to have you here on the show. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what Crafty Gemini is for people who might not have visited you yet?
Okay. So Crafty Gemini is basically a site that I have. It started off as a website, then I did a blog, and then I just kind of put them all together. And my blog, basically what I do there is I focus on different types of tutorials. I do some sewing, quilting, and then I have the occasional cooking and baking tutorials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I post them all on my YouTube channel, and then I kind of blog about them and then embed the video on the actual blog post so people can find me either through YouTube or just on the web or either way.
Neat, neat, neat. Now, you have a sort of an interesting story about how you decided to sort of go into this business of doing tutorials. Tell me about that.
Definitely. I've always been crafty. You know, as a kid, I was always in the kitchen, and I went to college, graduated, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do. In my house, education was always really pushed. So it was like, if you didn't know what you wanted to do, just get another degree and maybe then you'll figure it out. And if not, get another one, right? So I ended up going to law school, never wanting to be an attorney ever. And while I was there, I was like really bored and looking for a creative outlet type of things that I had done when I was younger. So I had my mom come over one day and asked her to teach me how to sew. Mind you, my mom is like an accomplished seamstress, right? When she came from Dominican Republic to the States, she lived in New York, and as a teenager, she worked in a factory making clothes. So she was really fast, but on those old school industrial machines, right?
Right, right,
and
right.
And she used to sew her fingers under the machine sometimes. So she was always traumatized that would happen to us. So she never wanted to teach us, because I've been asking her since I was 8 years old, right? So I'm like 22, and I'm like, I'm 22. I promise
Please,
I'm not going to sew my fingers. Exactly. So she got me an old vintage Singer machine from like the 60s at a garage sale, showed me how to thread it, and then I just started sewing. You know, she's kind of like, okay, just sew straight. Practice sewing straight stitches. And I did like 10 lines, and I'm like, now what? And she's like, just practice. Keep going. Sew 1,000 lines. And that got really boring. It got really boring really quick for me. So I grabbed a pair of jeans from my closet, cut them up, made a purse, and pretty much the rest is history. So once I started doing that while I was in law school, I graduated. I had been quilting for about a year after that, and I met my husband, and we were just dating, and I was telling him how I loved quilting, but I hated the quilting part, right? Yeah. Because it was so hard to do it on a domestic sewing machine. So we started looking into long arms, and then he didn't even know what the machine did, and he bought me one. And it kind of just went from there, little by little. I started, when I was pregnant with my son, I started teaching some sewing classes that wasn't working at the time through a local college, you know, like how they do community education courses. So I just started teaching some basic, really beginner sewing and quilting classes, and I got really good feedback from all the students. So I told my husband, I'm like, well, what if we opened up like a little sewing school, right?
Yeah,
so I start looking around for different locales and the pricing, and I wasn't, he was the only one working at the time, and it was just too expensive. Like, even if I did it, you know, rented a space out just on the weekends, I just couldn't afford it. So he tells me, why don't you just put your videos up on YouTube, right? So I was like, okay. So I just get my little point-and-shoot camera, and we started from there. And I mean, I've only been on YouTube for like a year and a half. And from there, I just started designing my patterns and posting them for sale and doing tutorials. And it's just kind of trickled on and on and on.
That's amazing. Your tutorials are very good. Tell me, you know, what do you think is important about doing a very good tutorial? What have you learned and finessed with yours?
So what I think, first of all, I never even knew people actually made money on YouTube. It was just like a place that people posted videos, right? So I thought to myself, if I'm going to post something, it needs to be of value, right? It needs to walk people through step by step. And so what I thought, because I'm not that far away removed from being a beginner, I see how some instructors, you know, you've been teaching, I mean, in any aspect, it could be in the classroom or quilting, whatever it is. If you teach something for so long, it's kind of like you forget the beginner stuff and you just go through the process and you assume that the student knows the basics, right? Because it comes so easy to you that you forget to go over that stuff. So I think that's what really sets my tutorials apart, because I don't try to, you know, I don't use like sewing or quilting terminology, or if I do, I explain what it means. I try not to just speak in jargon to confuse my viewers, because I started off and really what I focus on is the ultimate beginner, right? The person who has never sewn before or doesn't know anything about it. And I want to give them that little push, the little inspiration to be like, wow, she made it look so easy. Let me try this. So I think that I'm extra. I mean, I really focus on that being clear and thorough and walking them through every step. And, you know, I try not to just tell them what the next step is, but why you do it. So you're not just learning it in that specific project for that tutorial, but you can carry on those skills to another project, you know, so teaching them the other things around and not just how to make that one project.
Oh, that's very good, because you're actually training then.
Exactly. And I think that that's key, because once you start them off, you know, you want them to have that foundation that then they can go on another project. And maybe next time they see a pattern or something, maybe they're like, they feel a little confident to tweak it and kind of add their own twist to it, you know?
Cut up those jeans and make them into a purse, right?
Well, that's how, it's true, because that's how I've always been. Yeah. Even the first quilt class that I took, it was a 9-patch quilt. And when we showed up with the quilt top finished, I had like 8 blocks that were not 9 patches. They were looking at me like, what part of a 9 patch don't you understand? You know, I was just like, it was a little too boring for me. So I got online and just looked up different blocks and just threw in like extra blocks that, you know. But I've always been like that. I always like to create my own thing and kind of step outside of the box.
Well, you're very, very creative that way. Are you doing photo tutorials in addition to your video tutorials? You have both,
I've done
right?
some. Yeah, I've done some. And then I've tried to play around with this idea, too, of doing a video that's kind of like a montage of photos with text. I'm trying to get a feel for it, because I actually have a decent crowd that is hearing impaired. And, you know, like a video is such a huge medium for them, because you know, they read lips or they want to see it in action. And so I've been playing around with trying to figure out how to get exactly the captions on there, just show images. And then, you know, not everybody has really fast internet access to upload these, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute long videos that I do, because they're so thorough. So I've tried to play around with both, but I really like video. That's like my thing. I like being on camera.
Now, you've also been on the Moda Bake Shop.
That's right.
And what did you do for them? What kind of pattern?
Yeah, I did two. I have two patterns with them. One was, I call it the Watch Me Grow chart. And it's a grow chart for kids. And it's so funny, because I got the idea watching like a season finale of Desperate Housewives or something. They were showing like they had to move out of their house.
Yeah.
And the guy was trying to pull off the chart that they had marked on the wall where the daughter grew up all these years. And he's like trying to pull off like the door jam when it had been written. And it just came to my head and I was like, that's a great idea. Make a mobile growth chart like out of fabric and quilted that, you know, nowadays people don't live in the same house for 20, 30 years.
No.
So I was like, that's something that people can take from apartment to apartment when they move, whatever, and they can still track all their kids' things. So I made one of those out of a charm pack with some yardage there, and that was really good. Then the other quilt I had with them, I call it Hoopla Pops quilt.
Yes.
And
it's cute.
That design,
that is such a cute
thank
quilt.
You. Thank you. A lot of people really liked it. It's really like my aesthetic, really modern, kind of the geometrical shapes with random circles thrown around. And I really like those bright colors from the Hoopla line. That one
it's
I
adorable.
Just came up with. I started a local modern quilt guild in my town, and we had a challenge working with solids. And so I designed that quilt using just solids. And when it was finished, I looked at it, and I'm like, this would look so cute in like a really bright fabric line. So when I looked, I saw the Hoopla line, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I have to submit this to Moda. This would be perfect. And so they accepted it, yeah, and it was a good hit.
Well, people can go out to the modabakeshop.com and search on the bakers or the chefs or whatever they
the
call
chefs,
it.
For, exactly.
Yeah, for Vanessa Wilson, so you can see her work there. Now, whatever happened to your long arm? Are you still long arming?
I do. for a little while. Since I teach also. I work part-time as a law professor at a local college.
Okay.
And so when I started doing that after my son was born, I started long arming for customers. I have one quilt left to do and that's it. I'm putting that on hold for a while because I have so many other things going on, but I definitely love it. I mean, I make little mini quilts and art quilts and I just throw it on there. It's so much quicker for me to do as well. My machine doesn't have any of the computerized fancy stuff. You know, it's just real basic, no stitch regulator or anything. It just gives me a lot more space to quilt anything that I'm quilting. So I really like it.
Very cool. Now, I have to tell everybody, you know, Vanessa has just had the most amazing experience, and we're going to be exploring a lot of that after the break. But first, Vanessa, just tell me this amazing thing that happened to you.
Well, I was recently selected as one of the winners of YouTube's Next Up contest, and that basically was... Yeah, it was pretty big. I mean, it still is, right?
I get goosebumps, Vanessa, when you say it. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
You know, I literally screamed when I don't even know how I found out about the contest. I was just searching for something else on YouTube, and I saw it on the side as one of the related videos. And I'm like, what is this? And as soon as I opened it, I mean, literally, I just stood up and screamed and then, like, searched the web, the website to see when was the deadline. I was like, I hope I haven't missed it, you know, the submission deadline. And when I saw it, I told my husband, I'm like, this would be perfect for me because it's what I do. You know, there's tons of other different contests and different this and that that you can apply for. But this is like in YouTube. This is what I do. It's in the platform that I already have my videos under. And it was it's to help build up, you know, people that they think have the potential to be the next big thing on YouTube. So I was like, this would be ideal for me. So I submitted
Vanessa,
my video for that.
Yeah, Vanessa won $35,000.
That's right, Pat.
I know. That's why I'm like, I just get goosebumps. It's like, so there are only, what, 25 winners?
25 of us, that's right.
Yeah, 25.
Across
and
different genres. So there's all kinds of, you know, comedy, music, how-tos, and different genres.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to put on my website for the show the link to a story at the New York Times that you sent me, Vanessa, about which you were featured in.
Yes.
And then I'm also going to put another link that I found that shows all the winners so that people can go and see, which is totally, totally incredible. Now, this was you part of the what you won was to go to YouTube Creator Camp.
That's right.
And that just happened recently.
That's right. We spent all of last week. It was May, at the end of May. We spent a whole week up there. And they basically flew us up there, and we were taking, you know, kind of doing workshops and listening to speakers across all different fields. I mean, people that were like the, or still are the big time YouTubers, entrepreneurs that started in video, the guy that basically invented MTV. I mean, we had tons of people there. We were just literally, I have an entire notepad of notes. I told my husband, I'm like, I knew I was going to learn stuff, but I didn't know it was going to be this much. So it was pretty incredible. We got to meet all the other winners in person. And as part of the camp, we had to make collaborative videos. So they broke the entire group of 25 up into smaller groups. And then we each had to create a video for our own channel, but collaborating with the members that were in your group.
Now, Vanessa, I'm going to have you stop here, because what I want to do is take a little break.
Sure.
And when we come back, I'd like you to sort of talk about some of the aspects of the Creator Camp and what they meant to you and, you know, that kind of thing. All right?
Definitely.
Okay. So this is Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break and be sure to come back.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here with Vanessa Wilson of Crafty Gemini, a YouTube winner this year in 2011. Just absolutely a fabulous experience. So Vanessa, you got to go to this YouTube Creators Camp. What were a few, I mean, you were telling us how you met all these really, you know, extraordinary people, but tell me a couple of the experiences you did that are going to help you with your videos.
Definitely. So When I got up there, I was thinking, you know, well, let me see how this is going to apply to my type of videos, right? Because I do how-to tutorials, and it's sewing and quilting. So I was literally, I think I'm the only one of the 25 winners whose demographic, as far as viewers goes, is 40, like almost 70% of my viewers are 45 and older, right? And so when you think about YouTube, that's not what you think of, right?
Right.
You're thinking teenagers or college kids putting up videos and comedy and entertainment. So when I went up there, I was really, like, interested to see what all I was going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things was using things that some of the other video creators use, like pop culture or things that are going on in the media to create these type of, you know, crazy viral videos that go huge. Mm-hmm. And so the way I could interpret that into my type of video content is to use things like, let's say, the new Harry Potter movie that's coming out, right? Maybe make tutorials on how to make different things for Harry Potter. Because if you've seen people go out to these movies, they like to dress up, the kids like to dress up, you know, maybe do some tutorials based on that. Yeah. So different ideas like that. That one was one of the things, or to do things for specific holidays and try to get them posted up there, you know, a couple weeks or a month in advance. Because I don't know if you know, Pat, but next to Google, YouTube is the largest, the second largest search engine, right? So the same way we go to Google and search for something, people are doing the same thing, but in YouTube, and especially for how-to tutorials, because I know that's something that I do, right? You're looking to learn something, you type it in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so for things like that, that's definitely key. Another thing that we really got out of it was understanding the data that the YouTube console tells us, right? We can pull up stuff like Google Insights that kind of tracks where your viewers are coming from, how many all that kind of stuff. They went through everything and broke down all the numbers for us so we can use that information to work on your next video. So I can look at a tutorial that has maybe the most amount of hits or see why it's so popular amongst my viewers and then recreate that in another project, right? You also have data statistics in there that tell you when in the video the viewer drops out. So if you see that there's a video that a lot of people are dropping out of in the first 15 or 20 seconds, you know, you need to change something. Maybe your intro's too long, or maybe you're boring at the beginning, right? Maybe you need to do something else to catch them at the front end. So different things like that, just really analyzing what we're doing as opposed to just like making a video and posting it. Really understanding the concepts that you can apply it to your next one.
Were all the people who won pretty much there using it as a business tool?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely. Everybody there. Yeah. I mean, because that's the whole point of this Next Up program, right? It's to take people that want to take it to the next level. So nobody was really there just like, for fun. I mean, some people were already doing this full time, and a lot of us now with the money that we won are really looking to hunker down and do it full time, right? So definitely. I mean, we were definitely looking at everything there from a business standpoint.
Then when you did a collaborative video, what type of video was it? That must have been really fun.
So I knew that I wanted to, right, make a sewing and quilting video. And so when I saw my group members, I was laughing because they're three guys. One does music interviews with bands. Another one does songs and comedy and music and stuff. And another one does visual effects, right, like shooting guns and bombs going off and things. So I was like, this is going to be really interesting to get these guys to sew. So none of them had ever sewn before. I contacted a local quilt shop in New York City called the City Quilter Shop. The owner was more than happy to have me come in there and shoot my tutorial.
That's an awesome store.
Yeah, they're great. No, it was a great time. We went on a day that they didn't have classes, so I had the classroom to myself. And so we had journalists there from the New York Times, and, you know, everybody was filming everything. And I had these guys make a little picnic placemat. I've already actually posted the video. If you want, I can send you that, of them sewing. So I go through the whole tutorial showing them how to make this little roll-up placemat that has little slots for the utensils, like for picnics and things. And so they each pick out their fabric. So I have them walk through the store, and I'm pointing out the fat quarters, right? I'm like, pick up two of these. And so they're so serious choosing their fabrics, and they all completed the project. I mean, literally in less than an hour, step by step, and they each had a finished product. And at the end, I have viewers now commenting under the video, under the YouTube video, posting who do they think earned first, second, and third based on, you know, what the placemat looks like, right?
That's funny.
No, so it was a good time.
So who did you meet at the Creator Camp that for you was really inspirational?
I call him the wine guy, Gary Vaynerchuk. He's like this entrepreneur that started off in video. And he's now literally, I mean, he does consulting stuff for people that are starting small businesses. And he just had this really great attitude about business. It was, you know, connect to your audience. You can't just blow them off, right? After we post videos, you know how YouTube, you have, it's anonymous as well, you know, with the people that are posting, you don't really know who it is, but you have the comment box where people can write back to you. So he's saying, you know, if people are commenting back on your videos and you're just ignoring them, you're losing out on making that connection with your audience. So answering questions, if they're asking you questions, just keeping that connection with them. He does this thing where he says basically he'll answer every email that he gets. And he's like, you know, I get thousands and thousands, but I tell them that I'm going to answer their email, so you have to do it. You know, you can't, you have to promise properly, so you can't under-deliver type things. And so his, kind of like his philosophy for business and things, I really, really like that. Just everything about connecting with the viewers, doing different kinds of things to interact with them, ask them questions at the end of the videos, get them to maybe send you stuff, start a phone line and get them to leave you voicemails, do contests, you know, things like that, that people don't automatically think of when they think of YouTube. But I see a lot more channels going that route. So
That's pretty interesting. You know, it's pretty innovative, a little bit different.
Definitely.
So did you have, you must have had one thing that you had to do in those days that was really out of the box for you. Do you remember something?
Out of the box for me, huh?
Yeah, so really like different that you never thought you would be involved in doing. I mean, were you shooting off bombs or, you know?
No. Well, one of the groups, they do music videos. So they were getting everybody to get up and dance to this music video looking crazy, you know, like just like dancing and shaking it up. Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. Yeah, so they made us just get up in the middle of like a workshop and just get up and dance on camera.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah, well, me with my 6.5 month pregnant belly, you know. That was an interesting shot.
Yeah, you say, can I just stand here and sway, right?
Exactly.
You
know, let me just,
I'll just nod my head back and forth. That'll be good. Are you going to change anything about your home studio after going through this?
Not really. Well, as long as I'm living here, not so much. But, you know, we have future plans to maybe get a little farmhouse or something where I'd have my own studio space. But right now my studio is in my dining room. I just have like 2 fold out plastic chairs that you can buy at any big store, you know, and I just have them set up like in an L shape, and I put some quilts on the wall, and that's where I shoot my video.
Well, you know, it looks fabulous. So, you know, you
well,
can't
thank you. Yeah, my mom gets mad at me. She thinks we're crazy because you walk in and that's like the first thing you see. And I'm like, we don't have people over. Don't worry.
Well, I work in my what used to be the family room. That's where my studio is. So, you know, a lot of people actually convert their dining rooms. It's not
exactly.
It's not uncommon.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you're not formal, you know, we're not really formal people like that. We just
if you're not
eat wherever.
Put it to use. Put it to use.
No, so, definitely. No, it's a...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a wide open corner, you know, because I have a sewing room, but it's so tight that for me to set up the angled shots from further away to get everything I want is too hard.
Right. You do need to have
some
room
there.
Doing video. Yeah, you have to have it all the stuff set up. So what sort of, you know, have you even formulated sort of your next step? Is there anything you can share with us that, you know, you're sort of planning for everybody?
Well, right now... I mean, just some of the technical stuff that, you know, since we got back from New York, one of the best ideas they gave us was to hire staff. I do everything by myself, from the planning to the coming up with the idea to shooting to, I mean, everything like literally by myself. I fired my husband as a camera guy a long time ago. He was terrible. So now I've gotten a tripod and all kinds of stuff, and I'm waiting on a lighting kit to come in. And what I've done is I've contacted the local university and the students in there. TV production, you know, telecommunications department.
Right.
To get a few interns this summer to help me out, and they can get college credit for it. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Yeah, and they work with all the programs.
Interesting.
And stuff. Yeah.
And so now, will you know, they come to your place and work with you, or will you go there?
Yeah. No, they'll come to my place because that's where my studio, my home studio is.
Okay.
And, but it's interesting because a lot of classes and programs like telecommunications and stuff, they've all started to incorporate these online media classes, right? Because everything's kind of going that route now. So it's really good for the school and for the students to get that exposure with YouTube and a program like Next Up, you know, to help me. And they get college credit for it, you know?
That is great. So do you have a tip, since you are a mom and soon to be a mom again and having a business and working a part-time job? I mean, do you have any, just a quick tip or two for people in the same boat?
Get a husband like mine. I don't know. My husband is very hands-on. He literally does everything. He's out there right now. He's out playing with my son. He'll take him everywhere. Because, you know, like I said, I do all the videos myself. So he just, like, disappears with him, goes to the pool, to the park. He does all the cleaning, the washing, the laundry. Because, you know, I have another job as well. So
right,
I have so much to do, and I'm home with the baby all day. I mean, I don't have to tell him anything. He takes out the trash. He does the laundry, washes all the dishes. So,
and everybody wants to know
really
he has a brother. A brother,
no,
a cousin.
They're kids. They're like freshmen in college. Sorry.
Darn.
Yeah, no, he's great. And it's you know, since it was his idea from the beginning, it's funny because he almost like believes in me more than I believe in myself. He's always been pushing me like, no, you can do this. You know, they love you. Do this, do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do it. You know, I'll try this and that. But now I'm starting to see, like, yeah, it's true. But he's really supportive. I mean, he sold his car a few months ago just so I can get a new camera because he's kind of like, you know, you're going through that next step. And I ended up buying a new camera like a week before I found out about the program. So I was able to submit a high-quality video, you know, in HD.
Yeah.
And so everything's just kind of worked out. It's just been rolling everything together. It's been great.
Vanessa, this is just, I'm just so excited for you.
Thank you, Pat.
It is just amazing. I'm really happy you were able to come on and tell us about this. I think people are going to be really excited and come and visit you.
Definitely. If anybody has questions, they can email me. I'll answer them.
Yep. There you go. Vanessa Wilson of Crafty Gemini, the answer woman. Well, you can go visit her at craftygemini.blogspot.com and search for The Crafty Gemini on YouTube.
That's right.
So, Vanessa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
I hope I get to meet you in person soon.
One of these days, maybe at market or something.
There we go. Well, I want everybody to come back next week when I'm going to be interviewing Joan Wolfram, Pam Buddha, and Amanda Herring. So we're going to have another just fabulous show. Be sure you head over to allpeoplequilt.com where we have tips and free patterns and videos and techniques. So Vanessa, maybe you'll have a video on there someday. I am your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next time here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.